confused. Okay, Chair Kufari, we're ready to go. You may start.
All right. I would like to call to order the May 20th, 2021 Stormwater Utility Commission meeting. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to join us this evening via Zoom. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's availability and ability to participate. Irina, can I please have a roll call of the commissioners?
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Mattson? Commissioner Parker?
Here.
Commissioner Thomas? Chair Kufari?
Present.
Commissioner Thomas has asked to be excused. We do have a quorum.
Thank you, Irina. At this time, I would like to make some welcome remarks. And I'd like to thank you again for taking the time to join us. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's ability to participate. In order to participate, one must be logged in or linked into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I'd like to provide a quick overview on how to participate. During the meeting, everyone's microphone except for the commission and the individual that has the floor will be muted to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you'd like to ask a question or provide comments. If you wish to address the commission on any agenda item or during the call to the audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it is appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those of you participating on any platform other than by phone, find the reactions box by scrolling your cursor over the bottom of the screen. Select the reactions box. You will now see the raised hand icon. For those participating via phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Once your hand is raised, staff will be alerted to your request to speak. At the appropriate time, I will call on those with their hands raised to provide questions or comments. I will then announce your name and staff will unmute your access so you can speak. Please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device. As with all Stormwater Utility Commission meetings, please clearly state your name and whether you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. The timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you please respect the 3-minute limit. At this time, I would like to go to call to the audience. Irina, have you received any indication of an audience?
There have been no requests to speak at this time.
Thank you. And seeing none on Zoom, I would like to move on to council liaison comments. Dr. Green, I turn it over to you. You are muted, council member.
No. Nothing new.
Nothing. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Green. At this time, I would like to move on to the next agenda item, director's report. This is informational only. Mr. Spiker, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Kufari, commissioners. I've got a couple of things for us this evening. One, we heard at the town council meetings yesterday evening, it appears there's a light at the end of the tunnel in regard to in-person meetings. Currently, the council chambers are under construction, but it appears once that project is wrapped, we may begin to start scheduling in-person meetings. We don't have an official date yet, but again, the light's at the end of the tunnel, so I wanted to pass that along to y'all. Secondly, Stormwater Utility's been busy sending out messaging. You may have seen in your most recent water bill, it may have been a month or so ago, Stormwater Utility stuffed the envelopes with some informational material in regard to Stormwater Utility, what we do, why we exist, also some information in regard to draining your pools and spas, and just some general monsoon preparedness information. In addition to the billing stuffing, we've been preparing an article for the Oro Valley Vista newsletter. That should be coming out this summer. We are preparing an article for the Explorer paper as well, talking about, again, monsoon preparedness, signing up for Oro Valley's Code Red system, signing up for Pima County's My Alert system, to stay as informed as people can to the weather conditions throughout the summer. We'll be pushing information out in regard to our floodplain inquiry map that's publicly accessible. Again, trying to arm the citizens with as much information as we can. And then again, we'll be touching on our sandbag program, which the town will be holding again. Pima County's got several locations, Marana, the city of Tucson. So we'll be broadcasting some of that information through the Explorer. Lastly, the National Weather Service has a Monsoon Awareness Month, June 12th through the 19th. We're going to utilize some of their messaging and echoing that through our social media feeds. And again, just continuing to push the message to be prepared. The monsoons are coming. Lastly, we've been coordinating with the National Weather Service, Ken Drozd, on post-fire conditions as well as monsoon outlooks. Sat through a presentation by him. We've got a 40% chance, according to the meteorologists, of having an above average monsoon season, a 30% chance that it's average, and about a 30% chance that it's below. What do those numbers really mean to us? Well, they kind of tell me we're erring on the side of we might see a little bit more, but realistically, it's expected to be about an average monsoon season. Post-fire coordination meetings have already begun with, again, I mentioned the National Weather Service, the U.S. Forest Service, Pima County, Pinal County, Town of Oro Valley, have all been coordinating, Golden Ranch Fire, our first responders, to be prepared for what might come down the mountain. So we've got strategic locations we're going to continue to monitor. The county's got some projects that they're unloading up off of Ina, Skyline, and Sunrise to help contain some of those flows coming off the Front Range. And really just to set the protocol, who's leading the charge for response and what teams will be needed to back them up. So that's already underway, and we're prepared as we can be for this year's monsoon season. And that's about all I have for right now. Thank you.
All right.
Scott, if you can bring up the agenda now, that would be great.
Thank you, Scott. I'd like to move on to agenda item number one, review and approval of the March 18th, 2021 meeting minutes. Commissioners, hopefully you've had a chance to read through those minutes. If everything looks good to you guys, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second. Will...
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number two. This is a tough one. Recognition for outgoing senior stormwater engineer, Justin Turner. Mr. Spiker, I turn it over to you.
Chair Kafari, commissioners, again, it's my honor to recognize my colleague and really one of the leading drainage engineers in the state of Arizona, Mr. Justin Turner, as he prepares to retire from the town of Oro Valley and enjoy his grandkids and his family a bit more. I've known Justin for a number of years, going back to my early career at Pima County. A constant fountain of knowledge and more than willing to share that with others. It's funny, I remember the first time I met him, we were out on the Rito staking some property lines for a project. And as an adjacent homeowner, Justin came out to inquire about what we were doing. He politely disagreed with the documents we had in hand and proceeded to produce his own survey documents. County got a hold of those, noticed that we were in the error, corrected our documents, and moved on with Justin's assistance. But his willingness to help, his passion to do things the right way, they still persist today here at the town of Oro Valley. After more than 30 years of practice, delivering some tremendous projects for the region, the Tucson Arroyo relocation for Aviation Parkway near downtown, the Arroyo Chico Management Plan, the City of Tucson Stormwater Management Plan, TSMS, the FEMA remapping of the CDO wash through Oro Valley. Those are some of the big projects Justin's unloaded during his career, but he still has the passion and gratification for assisting these mom and pop single lot developments here that we see on the regular. The clientele doesn't matter to Justin. He's so willing and desiring to educate, to help. It's really been a joy to work with him and call him a colleague. You know, I want to personally thank him for his contributions to the town of Oro Valley here, to our citizens, and really to the entire region. Justin's going to be missed quite a bit. He certainly got some programs up off the floor here at Stormwater Utility and for the town. I just want to leave you with, he will be missed, but not forgotten. We will constantly be reminded of Mr. Turner's influence throughout the region here. And I sincerely want to extend a heartfelt thank you for all his efforts here. And with that, I'll open it up to the floor if anybody else has anything they'd like to add in.
Chair Kupari, I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, please, Irina.
When I started back here at Stormwater Utility in 2018, Justin was the acting division manager because Mike Todnum, our previous manager, was out. So Justin was the first boss that I knew. And I appreciated him because he actually hired me. He chose me over maybe one other person to work here. In working with him, you know how important a floodplain information status request to our residents is. And about June of the year of the Bighorn Fire, we implemented a new online floodplain information request form. And we did it just in time because right after that, the Bighorn Fire started. And about the end of June, in a day or two, we had 25 online requests when we normally get one or two or three a year. So we started out with 25 requests from the residents. And in the next 2 weeks, we had another 90. So by the middle of July, we're over 100 requests. And by the end of the fire, at the end of July, August, September, we added another 25. So we were well over 130 floodplain requests from our residents. And even though myself and Scott and John Spiker helped, Justin did the load of most of those requests, filling them out, making sure he had the maps from Scott and sending the responses on to the residents. So we did over 130, 140 of those requests in just a very short time. And that was quite a workload. He did the majority of it. And I'd also like to state that never a day goes by that he doesn't ask me if there isn't something he can do for me or help me in any way. And so that is just a wonderful person. And it's been such a pleasure to work with Justin. Yeah.
Excellent.
Commissioner Parker.
Am I unmuted? I am. Yeah, I just want to, I go all the way back to 2008. And Justin, I remember when I first came on with the town and we're dealing with LOMERS and LOMAs and DFIRMs and levy recertifications. And I felt a little bit out of my league. Mm-hmm. And you were a consultant at that time, but you were so instrumental and helpful along with Terry and Evan on just helping, you know, me to work through it, keep my head above, which keeping my head above helps out the residents and the businesses of the town. So I, you know, and through the years, it's always been great to turn to you, Justin, and ask for help whenever it was mm-hmm. needed. John, you forgot to bring up PC Hydro, which is Justin's two, which I think is a crowning achievement. But Justin, I just want to thank you so much. And for Councilmember Green, I think it'd be awesome if we could somehow make an exception for a non-resident who worked for the town to someday come onto the Stormwater Utility Commission because of his expertise and knowledge. But I know right now that's not allowed. But yeah, Justin, you have been awesome. I greatly appreciate it. And as John said, you are the best hydrologist in town by far, even though I know there's a couple who may, hydrologists may disagree, but they're wrong. So thank you for everything, and the town is going to sorely miss you.
Oh, well, such wonderful praise. I thank you all sincerely. These last few days, I've thought back on the 5 years I've been here, and thought back on June 16th of 2016. That was my second day here with the town. And the afternoon, I was advised that there was a Stormwater Utility Commission meeting up at Town Hall. Our office was here at 680, and we got in the truck and drove up there. I didn't know what to expect. I do know that there was a governing body for us. I had read the ordinance. I knew your responsibilities. And I knew Robert's rules of order, and I knew I had to keep quiet. And I just sat at the table until I was introduced by Amy Ramsey. And at that meeting, Commissioner Parker, you were there. Commissioner John Lynch was there. He's now with us, and three others. And Amy introduced me, saying, this is our new senior stormwater engineer. And she looked around to all of the commissioners and said, you know, this is the first hire we've had as a direct result of the rate increase that had been approved by mayor and council the month before. And that the money had been promised. Now I can read you quickly. It says this, the additional funding proposed will not only provide for the sustainability of the core programs for the utility, but also increase utility infrastructural assets and associated maintenance requirements, as well as fund for the development of small specific community infrastructure projects. And that was what you were, the commissioners at that time, under the guidance of Paul Kiesler and Amy Ramsey and other, but the commissioners, you all met many, many times in the year before to come up with a new rate structure, to evaluate the needs of the program. You identified it, and fortunately you were able to convince the mayor and council, and I was the lucky recipient of being the first to be hired. And after me came Scott Bennett, who's here at today's meeting, Jane Hutchins, and then I mentioned John Lynch. So we are all here together because of you and the vision that you have allowed us to push forward. We basically had a blank slate, and with it, we rewrote our stormwater management program. We focused the stormwater program. We eliminated items that we did not believe going forward were in the town's best interest and in full compliance with the rules and regulations. And we rewrote our manager program. We brought that to the commission over the years. We rewrote the floodplain management ordinance. It's going through another review, John. You're going to be talking about that. So as a group, as a collective group, we've done a lot. And it's really through the hard work of the commission and the administration of the Public Works Department. So I thank all of you for your praise. I thank all of you for the opportunity to put my career's knowledge to good work. And I hope to be back in some sort of emeritus function. I'd like to write some standard operating procedures and so forth. But I truly have enjoyed the last 5 years getting to know all of you, to work closely with all of you. And commissioners, thank you again for your time and for your thought and your dedication to this program. It's really made this whole thing possible, and your continued support is always appreciated. Again, thank you all.
Thank you, Justin. Much appreciated. And to Commissioner Parker's point, we're going to be rolling out the drainage criteria manual here for your guys' consumption. And sneakily enough, Commissioner Parker, there will be a version of PC Hydro within this particular drainage manual. So again, Justin will never be forgotten around here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joan, would you like to make a comment? I see your hand raised.
Yes, I just had another comment of thanks and praise for your work, and particularly working with me during my time on the commission, and your assistance given to commission members was always done with very graciously and with your usual gentle good humor. And it's a plus. So congratulations on your retirement and enjoy.
Yes. Good.
Thank you. As an observer, am I allowed to say anything?
Yes, please.
Yes.
I would just like to convey on behalf of the mayor and the council our thanks for your years of work and decision making and so forth. And it sounds like because of you, every drop of water that goes where it's supposed to has, you have a hand in that. So we sure appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Don't disconnect your phone. I'm guessing you'll get a lot of calls for help. So again, thank you.
All right. Again, thank you all. It was very sweet.
And I will echo as everyone else has. And Justin, I think we met back in 2013. I was working for one of the Pima County supervisors. And
Yeah,
newbie, fresh out of college, didn't know anything. And I'm sure you remember that drainage issue with the wall.
Yes.
And you took the time. I think it was probably an hour or two. We met and we talked and you discussed how hydraulics work and gave me a basic overview. And because of that, that's led into this flood control career that I'm happy to be in. And I'm happy to, or I want to thank you for all of your professional development you've given me and all your personal development that you've given me as well. And look forward to working with you in some aspect in the future.
Oh, thank you again.
And if we were in person, I would shake your hands. All right. At this point, I would like to move on to agenda item number 3, discussion of meetings and events. Mr. Spiker, turn it over to you.
Thank you. And I would like to recognize, it looks like Commissioner Mattson has joined us. Thank you for making the effort, Gary. I know that was a bit of a struggle. And Urena, we've got some information to update on Commissioner Mattson here, so we'll get that after the fact. Looking at the events and meetings calendar here, the Stormwater Utility was asked to place some additional meetings in here. Those are in the form of Pima Association of Governments, Stormwater Pollution Prevention. They're calling it right now a low impact development working group, sitting through an awful lot of green infrastructure, heat island reductions, and just general impacts to our citizenry. So those are now being placed on the calendar here, and the Stormwater Utility is a regular attendee of those meetings. As I mentioned in the director's report, we did have a post-fire Bighorn partner coordination meeting at the end of April, and we'll continue to do that through the monsoon season this summer. In addition, you'll also notice at the end of April, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, we had a stakeholders meeting for the small MS4 permit updates. So we attended that and provided comments back up to ADEQ to make sure our needs are met as well as possible here. And I think that's all I wanted to highlight at this time. I'll take any questions from the commissioner.
Mr. Spiker, I want to make a note that Pima County Flood Control is meeting with our operations and emergency management personnel. We're going to be scheduling a meeting related to the Bighorn Fire, but monsoon in general. And I know that we'll be reaching to you to schedule a meeting sometime in that early June timeframe as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Chairman Ghaffari.
All right. Hearing no other comments, I'd like to move on to agenda item number 4,
status update on Town Code Chapter 17, Floodplain Erosion Hazard Management Ordinance. Commissioners, I would like to remind you that this item is not open for discussion. It is for informational purposes only. Mr. Spiker, turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Kafari. Just as a word of note, the reason this was presentation only, this was placed on the town council's agenda last night, so we were unaware of what the outcome would be. So we didn't want to entertain discussion should it have not been approved. But I will let you know at last night's meeting, the council did pass a motion to initiate changes to the town code. That is the Chapter 17, Floodplain and Erosion Hazard Management. The stormwater staff has held meetings and received comments from the Arizona Department of Water Resources, as well as received feedback from the Pima County Regional Flood Control District, as well as your comments from your review earlier this year. So we're going to be incorporating those and formatting the document for publishing purposes. Once complete, we're going to share that final draft copy with each commissioner, and we are expecting this to go onto the council's agenda, I believe, for June 2nd. That's not that far away, but we do have a rough draft of the final edits that we will be able to push toward the commissioners in advance of that particular town council meeting. So it is moving forward. This will allow us to provide the drainage criteria manual updates as well. So the first step was getting the town code chapter 17 amended, and then we'll be presenting the drainage criteria manual sometime this summer to the commissioners here. And that is all I have for updates on that currently. I can't entertain any discussions at this point in time, Justin, sorry.
All right, moving on to agenda item number 5. Update and discussion on acceptable first flush water quality treatment and management methods. Mr. Spiker, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Kafari. I am going to turn this over as Justin Turner's last staff agenda item to report on. Justin, with that, can you lead us through this?
Oh, certainly. Thank you very much. As many of you know, we're currently rewriting the drainage criteria manual, and it should be available for distribution later this summer. And one of the chapters deals specifically with water quality and the rules and regulations that we are required to enforce and what our expectations are with regard to submittal of drainage reports and grading plans, SWIP plans, and so forth from the consultants as part of their development, routine development activity. And many of you might remember, well, first of all, those two regulations that we're required to enforce. One is the construction general permit. That's the SWIP plans that contractors must implement, the erosion control, the wattles, the track outs, and so forth, and good housekeeping. And then the bigger permit is our general permit, the MS4 general permit. And we're required to monitor in private properties, public properties that discharge water onto our MS4, our public drainage system. And we are supposed to be vigilant in that regard to make sure we're not receiving pollution. If so, we have means of detecting and somehow eliminating that. And we are prohibited from conveying and distributing that water downstream to the waters of the U.S. So we have those two rules. And through the development process, we advise property owners, land developers, engineers of their own obligations in this regard. And the first design criteria manual that came out in 2002 briefly talked about this requirement, that it was slightly updated in 2010, the last time around. And at that time, the town required the first half inch of rainfall from paved parking lots be treated, go through some sort of hydromechanical device to separate solids and volatile organic compounds and the like. And we really gave the owner developer just one choice of how to prevent pollution from leaving their site. It was a very small list of things that they could do. And since that time, we've looked at other communities in the state and realized that none of them, without exception, are requiring these first flush filtration devices that if you drive around our community, and we don't see them elsewhere. We talked to consultants. When I was in private consulting, I knew about this, and these are our same colleagues. We talked to them and say, yep, when I work elsewhere in the state, in the county, we don't have to put those things in. So we reached out. Well, as we were writing this chapter, we reached out to the state and said, are we unique in this regard? And if so, is it expected that we continue, or can we do like everybody else and offer a wider range of possibilities? And they said the latter, said, you can let the owner decide what they can, how they want to protect the environment to prevent pollution. And I think on the left-hand side, there's these, control standards, they talk about pollution that settles to the bottom of the wash, causes objectionable odor, et cetera. Those are the performance standards that we are reminding the development community, and then say, all right, what you have a way, many ways of controlling that. And we're offering stormwater retention. This is the sequestering of just a small amount of water in the bottom detention basins, or even in water harvesting areas, rainwater harvesting areas. And as long as they capture and retain that water on site, it takes care of that obligation. The other is these filtration devices. And the third is just good housekeeping. Can they, do they have a robust street sweeping and garbage pickup program? We're talking about regulating parking lots. That's the only thing we're looking at in this community. And really that's what most communities look at, just the dirty old parking lots with oil and grease and drippings and so forth. And the back of store garbage bins, et cetera, those can be pretty revolting. And that's all we look at in this town and everywhere else. So we give the engineer of record the choice of what they can, what method they will use to control pollution. So we're expanding it. I think we're now more in step. But once this chapter gets folded into the design drainage criteria manual, once it's approved by the town engineer and others, it will go out. And I think we'll now be in close step with our other communities in Pima County and the state of Arizona. So, and I had reached out, David, Commissioner David, I asked you based on what you remember from your tenure here as heading up the department, how this limited, hydromechanical choice was implemented. Why did we do this one thing? Why did we not allow other choices? And I think your reaction was, well, that's how it was when you came here, and that was the best available information. It sounded reasonable, and so you're still a wealth of information. I asked you about what happened back then, but the other interesting thing, briefly on this topic, and why we're suggesting that the owner engineer be in charge of their own water quality program, is that the general permit, the MS4 general permit, is coming up for reissuance. And one of the new provisions is they're going to be requiring small MS4s, our organizations and communities like us, to collect runoff water and test it, take it to a laboratory, and and have it tested for, you know, a huge list of all manner of organic and inorganic compounds, you know, copper and lead and so forth. And they're going to be asking us to do that on an annual basis and use that information to help reemphasize best management practices to the possible perpetrator. And we're not very happy about that new requirement, and especially about having to approach the property owners with this new discovery. Now you have to clean up your act. So I think with this new chapter where we're asking each owner to be responsible for their own pollution and do the best they possibly can based on what information they have at the moment. And if the regulatory climate changes, as we believe it will, we would simply just have to reach out to the owners and say, all right, you've been doing a very good job, but you're now having to do a little bit more. And they would already be aware of their responsibility. So again, we're being proactive in the rewriting of this chapter. We're getting, you're trying to understand the history, why we had this to begin with, why we're limited, and then what other communities are doing. And so I think we've put together a new chapter that will enable us to go forward for another decade or more without having to revisit it. But anyway, that's all I have today. Thank you.
Commissioner Parker?
Yeah, I just had a couple questions when I read the agenda item that you all had typed up. And Justin, you kind of touched upon them. It sounded like when I read it that potentially individual homeowners were going to be, but you said it's really focused on parking lots and commercial type outfalls. Or are you going to be looking for, you know, the engineer of records for, you know, the builders for individual homes to also be incorporating some level of stormwater controls on their individual lots?
Commissioner Kafari, may I answer that?
Yeah, please.
That's a yes and no answer on that. Pollution controls, these filtration devices and on-site retention and harvesting, that is not required. And it very clearly says in the new chapter, these regulations shall never be applied to private property owners. It's has its own line item. I put that in there specifically to make it clear that private property owners are effectively exempted from those long-term responsibilities. So that was the no. The yes part is that during construction of private property, private homes, the builder will still have to put up individual best management practices, these wattles and fences and so forth. But that's just, and also if they're doing plastering or painting, they can't just discharge that awful water onto the, you know, onto the street or someplace. So they have to, during construction, they have to follow good housekeeping practices and erosion control practices. But once they're done, that's it. So we're only regulating parking lots and big parking lots at that.
Perfect. I wasn't concerned with the CGP because I know that that's going to apply, a different requirement. So it wasn't the CGP. It was more of for after construction, are they going to have either the cyclones or whatever? And I'm assuming the HOAs, if you have a subdivision, that requirement potentially could still be there. But not on individual lots? No, not even on HOAs. Okay. So it's solely commercial.
Solely commercial and solely the parking lots of commercial. We're not looking at rooftops.
Perfect. And then on the outfall inspections, and I guess this is for you and John, has the state identified the specific outfalls, or are they just giving you a criteria and saying, this is what an outfall looks like, and then it's up to the town to decide how many they have to sample?
That's a good question, Commissioner Parker, and one that Scott Bennett has been asking for several years now. It appears the state will be leaving that up to the jurisdictions to identify the outfalls. The state will be providing criteria for the amount of outfalls that they want sampled. But that's an iterative process. The town will be responsible to identify the outfalls, and then we work with the state to actually come up with a number of specified sites per year that they want tested.
But it looks like it could be an outfall, could be a cul-de-sac that drains into the CDO or Big Wash or a tributary to them. So we could potentially have hundreds of outfalls. And that's not fair when you consider because the type one communities, this is Phoenix, this is Tucson, everybody larger than 40,000. I believe that's the cutoff. Dave, you might remember better.
It used to be 100, but it could have.
Well, it's 100,000. They only have to monitor storm drains that discharge into Waters of the U.S., and the pipes have to be larger than 36 inches in diameter. In other words, they're biggies. And they're not looking at curb cuts. And so that's why I think it's a bit unfair. Commissioner Brown, maybe from your experience, you've been a SWIP regulator and expert for years. I wonder how you're reacting to that.
Well, Justin, I was wondering if you have auto samplers and who would be expected to incorporate that in the budget. Just for consistency across the board. I know these questions probably haven't been answered yet, but just something to consider.
It's certainly, Commissioner Brown. I know working at the county before I left a year and a half ago, the county just as a phase one, again, a big entity, just put online a few auto samplers because they were running into the issue of the availability of staff to run out at any given storm to collect the samples. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have the funding sources for auto samplers. That's not an easy setup. But from the purposes of routinely collecting samples over a long period of time, that certainly is something the town can investigate a little further or lean onto our partners in the region, the city or the county, Pima County. Get some assistance. How do you go about these? Who makes these? What were some lessons learned for you guys? But as I mentioned, a part of our comment response back to ADEQ as our stakeholders, we are asking for a reduction in numbers of samples. We'll see if we're successful with that, but they wanted requirements that you were to capture samples after every qualifying storm event. So theoretically, you could have hundreds of qualifying storm events in a given year. And it, to Justin's point, it seemed a little unfair, but we're trying to push back a little bit and understand why ADEQ wants this done at this level and trying to come up with a plan that can satisfy them. They do seem very willing to work with us. So I'll applaud them for that, but it's still somewhat uncertain at this point.
Thank you.
The reason that I asked was because if the outfalls are that expansive where you are looking at cul-de-sacs going through curb cuts into the CDO, if you were to take samples and they came back violating any of the criteria, then potentially you may need some, some prevention devices for the HOAs at those places. And if there's not any, and I mean, it might not be the right ordinance, but somewhere you need to make sure the town has the flexibility if that is required, that, it has to be addressed.
Commissioner Parker, you are spot on. We see the ramifications down the road. If we're asked to do analytical monitoring on these outfalls, what happens when we find a positive test result above and beyond the threshold set? What is the town responsible for as far as trying to identify the polluter? That is a great unknown in my mind and could lead to an extensive amount of time and resources dedicated to chasing that down. So another one of our comments to the state was, this is not a compliance monitoring effort. This is strictly informational purposes only, up to the state. Look, here's what our stormwater contains. So we did not want to broach into the enforcement mechanism once we found a positive. This is really just a data gathering effort. As the state has relayed to us, visual monitoring of outfalls is not significant to identify what's in your water. So I'm trusting them. I'm putting my faith that they're really just after what's in the stormwater, not trying to correct any negatives found. But I have to believe that will be coming shortly thereupon, the identification of a failed test result. So is that going to be the state? Is that going to be the local sponsor? We're unsure of that at this time, but we're trying to play nice in the sandbox with the state.
Thank you. That was it. I just went and that caught my attention when I read over it.
Right. And I think, John, you alluded to it. Yeah, it's one of those questions. Do you use public money for private interests? I mean, are you going to put, you know, public retrofittings on HOA drainages and streets like that? That's a hard sell for the community and for council. So hopefully you guys get some good response from the state. I do have another question. Is there plans to go back out to these commercial businesses, these parking lot owners, and say, hey, we have these new products available if you want to try to install. We have new filtration devices that may be more acceptable to you.
Commissioner Chair Kafari, not at this time, though we're going to touch on outreach a bit in the next agenda item. And that's certainly something, as these permits change, it's our duty and responsibility to pass that on to the public here in Oro Valley and continue to update them on what the requirements are. We do have some interesting fee waiver or fee reduction policies here that really go in line with our MS4 permitting. You know, the things Justin is talking about for first flush really apply to water quality across the board. So we do have alternatives to correcting some of these outside of just retrofitting. Again, Justin touched on street sweeping. We can do an enhanced street sweeping protocol, which doesn't really force the property owners to reconstruct anything. It's just, okay, do a little bit more cleanup. Do some trash pickups in your lot or your parking lot. There's some easy basic things that people can be doing to improve stormwater quality. And we'd sure like to push those before we're asking folks to rip their parking lots up and rebuild them.
Justin?
Commissioner, you know, we've talked internally about altering the, and I think John, you briefly alluded to it, to changing the rate structure, utility rate structure, to include private streets, HOA private streets, and also have a fee reduction provision for parking lots. And the reason we would include the private streets is that we would offer them a 100% discount if they regularly swept their streets. And I think most subdivisions do. They sweep their streets four times a year, like we do, but maybe they don't. And so, all right, let's charge them, what's it gonna cost? $800 to do their whole subdivision for a sweeping. We'll charge them $800 a year for a fee. And if they show us that they're sweeping, they get the fee waived. And go and do the same thing, Commissioner Farr, we could go back to our parking lot owners and say, you know, you're getting charged $4.50 an ERU equivalent. And that could be several thousand dollars a year. And Mrs. Hyde, you would be best at telling us what those huge sums are. But if we could give them a financial break and say, all right, we'll give you whatever, 50 cents a unit. And they simply have to redouble their efforts on sweeping, or at least show that they're sweeping. That would be a win-win for everybody. Yeah, we might lose a little money, but we wouldn't have as great a likelihood of having a pollution problem. So that's a thought that will be talked about internally. And then, of course, maybe the commissioners can be thinking about that as well when we meet every year about and talk about the need for increasing the utility tax. You can say, well, have you thought about increasing it, but giving waivers and have a zero net gain, but boy, it would certainly give some encouragement to HOAs to sweep and to parking lot owners to sweep and do whatever they got to do. So we can work with our ordinance through the guidance of the commission, and we might be able to have a better program. And it would, and I'm sure the state would embrace it. It's food for thought.
Good idea, Justin. And I know FEMA at the national level is pushing what they're calling mitigation credits. You know, doing stuff on your own house, you know, but doing something at a scale that you're talking about is a great idea. And so I think we would love to take that into consideration in the future.
Commissioner Parker.
That's actually already in the ordinance. Yes. In 1524, there's already a 25% reduction for businesses that do provide pollution prevention mitigation. Street sweeping, we've included in the past. Casas Church has a giant parking lot. They did a lot of street sweeping, and education was in there also. That was one of the duties of the commission, was to review and approve the requests that came in. Now, back in the day, you know, a long time ago, we only had a few. There were only, I think, Sun City, Visoso, and Casas Church were the only two. And I received numerous phone calls from businesses, but they didn't want to put the effort in to get the reduction. But right. So I don't know, you know, John, for you, I don't know if the 25% was too low and that's why they didn't. And only the really big stormwater fee, you know, payers came in after it. But there were, you know, I remember multiple small companies that came and inquired, and they didn't pursue it just because, and it could have been the 25%. But the original, the mechanism is already there at some level.
It is, and that, Commissioner Parker, it is still intact as you remember it. The applicants are supposed to apply to the Stormwater Commission for that reduction and waiver, and it must be approved via commission to make that happen. I want to believe the only other example we have, Commissioner Parker, is the Walmart at Oro Valley Marketplace. I believe that's the only addition that has come into the fold since you've since left us here. So we aren't getting great traction out of that. And that's where, again, I think the Stormwater Utility can do more broadcasting to it. But these are discussions that ought to be made during the development phase or design phase, really not post-fact. Although we can still address it post-fact, it'd be nice up front if they were more educated on that alternative and option and made that part of their plan.
Well, that's a very informative topic here, and I look forward to seeing how this progresses over the next couple months and years. Are there any other questions or comments from the commission? All right, hearing none, I'd like to move on to agenda item number 6, discussion of 2020-2021 Town of Oro Valley MS4 compliance schedule, third quarter report. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Kafari. The town manages the stormwater quality in accordance with the Arizona Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, the AZPDES, that authorizes discharges from stormwater into the MS4, the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. The report you see today here is for the third quarter of the 2021 reporting period that runs July 1 through June 30th. Scott is bringing up the checklist here for us to review. I'm going to go over a couple of these. These emanate from our stormwater management plan, as well as requirements to report to ADQ on an annual basis. These consist of six MCMs, minimum control measures. The first one's public education and outreach. We've got public participation and involvement, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site runoff, post-construction runoff, and pollution prevention slash good housekeeping for municipal operators. I'm going to highlight a few of the things we have been working on most recently. Some of these we've already discussed, but I'm going to highlight them again anyway. Under MCM 1 at the top, we've got three of them here. Create and update information brochures, that's BMP 1.1. Distribution of informational brochures to the general public, which I would hope if you're generating them, you're actually pushing them out to the public. That's 1.2. 1.3 is distribution of brochures to businesses that potentially affect stormwater quality. So what we're doing on those fronts, obviously I mentioned the billing stuffing that's going out with the water bills and the stormwater fee bills. That's information that we developed recently and pushed into people's hands. In addition to that, the stormwater utility developed a Port-a-Johns flyer. We sent that out or distributed that to all the porta potty rental facilities or companies here in town, reminding them how to set these up properly, make sure they're in the right location, make sure they're staked down, make sure they're serviced properly. It's something we see on almost every construction site, and almost every time I've visited one, they're improperly installed or drug around to a location that doesn't make sense. So that was what we covered in 1.3 this particular quarter. In addition to that, on MCM2, encouragement of the public participation via volunteer groups sponsored by the town of Oro Valley. This is something that is near and dear to the mayor's heart. You may have noticed some communications toward this, roadway cleanups, encouragement of the public to keep Oro Valley clean. Those are all things that help water quality, and we're sure to track numbers and report on those activities. So it's great. It's not just stormwater. The town has really embraced that volunteer effort to keep Oro Valley clean. Lastly, under MCM 6.1 is the annual inspection of town municipal operations and maintenance facilities. Here at 680, we do have a mechanic shop back in the back here. They do have potential pollutants on site here. So we do annual inspections, making sure the facility is up to snuff and retaining runoff before it pollutes our MS4. So those are all in good standing at this facility here. We have another facility up at the golf course off of La Cañada. Again, another maintenance yard that they use for their equipment, material storage. So we do annual inspections up there to make sure they're in compliance as well. And by all accounts, those facilities are in good standing and have passed yet for another year. And that's all I have to present to you guys today.
John, I do have, Mr. Spiker, I do have a question on the BMP 6.1. Are you making unannounced visits or are you scheduling a time to go inspect those facilities?
Those are unannounced visits, Chair Kafari. They are regularly scheduled for us here, so they do happen routinely in the August or April to May timeframe. So they know they're coming, but they don't know exactly when. We don't want them to clean up the site before we get there. That's
right.
Not the intention here. We want to see how they're actually operating and making sure that we're catching the bad actors and trying to correct those. So yeah, those are unannounced.
Excellent. Justin?
I don't know if you mentioned that. Don't believe I heard you, but I believe that the staff report said that we are up to date. These are quarterly reports to the commission showing our regular progress. We're now halfway through our fourth and final quarter for the reporting year. So the end of June, the end of next month is our end of reporting period. And Scott Bennett carefully tracks all of our required minimum activities. And according to this list here and the spreadsheets that he keeps on for recording such things, we are up to date and we have no deficiencies in our program, and we are, expect to give an affirmative report to the state when our report goes back out, or goes out to the state in September. So our reporting year is soon to come to a close. We believe we've met all of our obligations under the permit, and these are just X's showing that we've either done them or they're ongoing and continuous. And I think we've done an excellent job this year, with the one exception of that red item, the outreach to schools. And of course, we've had conversations with ADWR, and or rather ADEQ, pardon, and they are aware that nobody can do that this at this time, and they're okay with saying we didn't do it this year. So most communities can be the same way. But anyway, we're on target, and we'll be able to close out the year positively in about 6 weeks. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. I say it every year, but looking at these, especially the fourth quarter report, this is it just shows how much you and all the Oro Valley staff and mayor and council, what you guys have done this past year. And again, congratulations on what you've done and keeping Oro Valley clean. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place to live, and a lot of it stems from the stormwater utility. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to agenda item number 7. Discussion and possible action regarding the cancellation of the June 17th, 2021 Stormwater Utility Commission regular session meeting. This is for the commission only to discuss. Does anyone have any comments? Do you feel like we need to hold a June 17th meeting, or can we cancel it? Mr. Spiker, do we have anything that would be pressing that we would need to have a June 17th meeting?
I don't believe so, Chair Kafari. The big ticket item coming up, as I've mentioned, is the Town Code Chapter 17 revisions. We'll be presenting or providing you guys a draft copy of that, but we can certainly talk upon that in the July meeting if you guys desire. That would really be the only subject that I think would warrant something in June, but I don't feel that's necessary.
All right, any other comments from the commissioners? I would,
John Parker?
Yeah, the only, I recently received, I believe it was from you, Mr. Spiker, I believe I received from you the, you sent the notes on the fee discussion from last September. Thank you, I appreciate that. And then also the town council, the 21-22 budget and the 2021 financial update. And I was looking at those and I had a question, and I'm not sure when the right time to ask that would be, because it's not an agenda item, but I did have a question about an item that's in the budget for next year. And I don't know if that's something, the budget begins, what, 1 July?
July 1, yes.
And that you, if you've already brought this up when I ask it, I apologize, but I don't, you know, am I allowed to ask a question on the budget now, or is that something that needs to be added to the agenda for the future? I don't remember Robert's rule like Justin does, because I don't keep quiet.
Yeah, no, and I believe we cannot discuss things that are not on the agenda.
Yeah.
Now, if you would like to discuss that, we can certainly create a staff agenda item for a future meeting, but I don't believe it's pertinent here and now.
Okay, and that's fine with me. I mean, it's nothing pressing. I just had a question on it, and I wasn't sure if I couldn't remember the rules and whether I'm allowed to ask it or not, but it's just in regard to the CIP that is in the budget for 21-22. And if you brought that up in previous meetings, I apologize. I don't remember what it is, but I just wanted to talk about that in the you know, the state grant, which I'm assuming is tied to it. And, you know, it ties into the reserve fund and all that. So I just wanted to ask the question on that when the time is appropriate.
And I will let you know, Commissioner Parker, if you have any specific questions, we are here individually on your own time. You're more than welcome to reach out to us and have a dialogue. I know that doesn't help all the commissioners here, but if you're seeking just specifics on one item, we're more than happy to assist you.
And that's all it is. That's all it is. So I can just swing by 680 and look at my old closet cubicle when I come by.
Yes, you're more than welcome to do that.
All right, thank you.
Or as I did mention, and it might be appropriate, I know that is coming up here shortly, future agenda items. I fully expect by the end of June to have the budget approved. I'd like to say it'll be at the 2nd, but it might not be till the 16th that they get that approved. That might help you guys determine if you want a June meeting or not. But certainly by July, we should have the approved budget and can certainly talk through what is in that for y'all.
Okay. Well, that sounds like waiting from my perspective, waiting to July makes sense.
Yeah.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes, John, concerning the June meeting, I was wondering if you are anticipating, I know they council approved the update, but are you planning to be on the consent agenda for June? Is it, or it's going to be a full presentation and vote?
Yes, it does have to be a resolution item, regular with a public hearing. So this will not be a consent agenda item. It will have to go and have discussion and a public hearing with it.
And so regardless of what happens at that meeting, the necessity to have our regularly scheduled meeting in June, that could be academic. I mean, maybe we should look at July.
Yeah, there isn't an opportunity for a meeting prior to the town council's adoption of this. And again, we presented it to you guys, I think earlier this year. We brought that up as an agenda item. And we'll certainly, I think you guys had asked at the March meeting, we want to see the final draft edits. Hence why we put up agenda item today to let you know what the status was and that we would be getting you guys a draft copy of the final edits. And to Chairman Kafari's comment, we did make some of those changes, Joe, and removed special flood hazard from quite a bit of the document and left it as floodplain.
Thank you. I think hearing these questions, I think it would be beneficial to hold a June 17th meeting. We could, and kind of just focus on the financial aspect of it. We could get any questions asked or answered. It doesn't have to be a full blown meeting, but maybe just something related to financials would be beneficial.
Commissioner Mattson.
Yes, as a newer member of this commission, pertaining to the budget and finance and CIPs, what is our role? What type of input do we have? Do we get involved with your staff at all? I mean, I have some expertise in this area, and, you know, I could be somewhat helpful. If I know if I'm in somewhere in the process before the budget is made rather than voting or just after the fact. I think it was an important issue raised by Commissioner Parker.
Yes, very much so. Particularly for Commissioners Thomas and Mattson and Parker, you guys weren't there in the October meeting, so you didn't really get a chance to review those documents. So I can appreciate you guys trying to play catch up. But even within that particular meeting, we only talk about our projects and our financials one time a year. Now, granted, we're only doing 6 meetings typically. So there's not a ton of input. And I believe 1524 pretty clearly states what the commission is responsible for. And that's really only the review of the stormwater fee as it relates to the needs of the stormwater utility. So we're not soliciting input on projects per se, Commissioner Mattson, but we are looking for assistance and review. Does the workload that the stormwater utility has, does that meet the fee that's being collected today? Or do we need to go back and look at it? Do we need it to go up? Do we need it to go down? We don't really present a full picture for that. I believe we give out a five-year plan that kind of outlines what we're looking at. And we've got all the costs captured in there for staff, for equipment, training needs, et cetera, et cetera. We didn't dive too deep in the weeds, though, from what I recollect last October. But we can certainly look toward that, trying to get a few more meetings up front. Or what I like, what you guys are asking about, what actually got approved? Can we walk through that after the town council has approved that and give us a better idea of what we're hoping to get done next fiscal year?
Yeah, I'm considering next fiscal year, not what's going on now. But I'm also the fact that if we're involved in determining fees and everything, any project, what is the impact on the fee schedule? And do we have a priority list? You know, most capital budgets do have that. And you have apparently a five-year capital facilities plan already. And I was wondering what type of priorities and possibility of what type of outside funding we anticipate will come in that may help us minimize raises of fees and so forth for the general public and commercial public.
Spot on, Commissioner Mattson. That is information you guys should have at your disposal. Again, a priority ranking list. What projects are important to us? What are we looking at getting done in the more immediate future? And what are we leaving toward the end of that five-year work plan? And I really liked your idea, Commissioner Mattson, of what other funding sources are contributing to the stormwater utility fee. And we've already identified several. We've brought in some grants. We're working with our partners. I don't know the depth of that knowledge for the commissioners, though. And we'd be more than happy to present some of that to y'all.
Thank you.
Commissioner Parker.
Yeah, and I was just going to piggyback on that and just say, Gary, what having gone through when we created the first utility fee and then the addition to it, where we play a part in that, if that comes up to where it's needed again, which it looks like, sounds like from what, you know, I've heard from Amy and John and them is it's not needed anytime soon. You never know. Is we do look at the, we have to get into the weeds at that point. We don't get into the weeds year to year because that's the utility taking care of the requirements based upon what they do.
Right.
But if a fee is increased, then we kind of do need to get into the weeds because to justify and identify the potential increase that we recommend, we don't approve. It's, you know, we're just advisors. We're not approvers.
Right.
But we kind of get into the weeds at that point, you know? So, I mean, right now, since no, you know, in October, the way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, is that since no fee increase was recommended or identified as being needed, there's no reason for us to get into the weeds. It's more of just, you know, saying my only concern is I'm just curious what the project is, just my background on the town and the history. I'm curious about it just for my own knowledge, not to approve or anything like that. So, but we may have to get into the weeds at some point, but not unless a fee increase is needed. And then you got to look at, you know, capital improvements. What size is the fee structure going to tackle as opposed to, as you brought up, other funding sources? You know, Joe's Flood Control District, what are we going to try to piggyback on, or the state grants or the FEMA grants? So we don't have to get in the weeds now, but that is a potential. So having the information and getting the background and getting educated on it is very important.
And that's where, again, I think it would behoove us prior to October's, maybe it's September, I can't remember. It's September, October, November, one of the 3 months. Prior to that, I think y'all should be armed with what we're looking at as far as the 5 year. So again, maybe not diving into all the financials, but what does our workload look like? What are we attempting to tackle? I think you guys should be armed with that to have some idea if we need to do increases or not, because as Commissioner Parker can relate to the rest of you, if we go down that road, it's an exhaustive effort and it doesn't happen overnight. So we need to better arm our commissioners with the information to be prepared for those types of things. So I think it's worth our time in that fall time period to go through what we hope to do next fiscal year, but then bring it back to you guys once the budgets are approved and say, okay, this is what is actually approved by the town council. This is what our workload looks like in the upcoming fiscal year. I don't see why we shouldn't have that as a line item for discussion, typically in that July time period, because the budgets don't typically get approved until June. Irina.
Mr. Spiker, I'd just like to comment that it was September of 2020 that the rate analysis was on the agenda. So we started in September with the commission.
Okay. Which again, that doesn't leave us a lot of time if we're going July with a CIP financial report and then following that up in a couple of months with another one. But again, we don't have a lot of meetings, so.
Yes, and I'd also like to state that it was a no rate adjustment presentation that was given. So yeah. I would imagine that if that was different, we possibly could start as early as July. If it's not a no rate scenario, no rate approval.
And
Commissioner Brown?
John, if we're looking at, since the samples now be required by the MS4 permit, and we were discussing potential price signals in the fee structure, is that going to be another moving part between now and October?
Yes and no. It really depends what the state leaves as far as requirements go. We are hoping at this point, Commissioner Brown, that we are only asked to submit a couple of samples within the reporting period, which is a 5-year period. If that is the case, we can absorb those analytical costs. If the state comes back and says you must sample every qualifying storm event, we're most likely going to have to come back and ask for something different, mm-hmm. either a reduction in capital improvement projects or a supplement by creating some auto injectors or hiring consultants to do that work for us.
Yes.
But we'll certainly need to understand what those costs and ramifications will be to us. And revisiting the fee might be in line. We'll have to tackle that. But right now, if we're only looking at $1,000 to $1,500 a year, that's not a lot of money, and we can absorb that.
And you never know what will be offered in terms of leveraging resources from state and correct. Feds, because so let's hope for that. But okay, so the time frame to have this sort of urgency on this, that probably shouldn't be a big issue over the next.
I don't believe so, Commissioner Brown. The state is, as of right now, the draft permit says they are giving each agency 24 months to come up with a plan and the same time period, 24 months to grab your first sample. Again, we don't know how many we're going to be asked to get, but we believe 2 years would give us sufficient time to put a budget together, to put a revised plan together, and potentially approach you guys to seek more money if we need to.
I want to interject here. I want to remind myself and the commission that we are discussing just the cancellation of the June meeting. I don't want to get us into open meeting violations by discussing other topics yes. off agenda or unrelated to this.
Thank you, Chair Kafari.
But the point was we were thinking maybe of putting this on a June agenda yes. meeting. And therefore, we're not violating it.
No, that's fine. I just didn't want us to devolve.
Okay.
I will let you guys know that next June meeting, if you desire to select that, Justin will be gone, and I believe I'll be on vacation. But I.
Oh, okay.
That changes things.
That changes it all. Okay.
But again, I don't want that to sway. I will attempt to make myself available while I'm on vacation if we desire.
Not at all. I think you're going to have enough going on with getting ready for council and hopefully monsoon response.
Yeah.
I don't want to make a motion as the chair, but if someone wants to make a motion, we can proceed.
Given all of this, I would make a motion to cancel the June meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? No? Okay. All right. So moving on to the next agenda item, which is future agenda items. I believe we have a plethora that we have just discussed. So I will leave that up to John and what other staff he has at that point to come up with agenda items for the future meeting. Are there any other comments from the commission?
You don't want to have the budget discussed after the fact? Somebody could go through the budget that had been...
No, we definitely can. We definitely can.
You should have that on there. Seems to be a little interest on your parts.
And that will give us an opportunity to
highlight
some of the work that those that were not at the September meeting, we can highlight those projects and dive a little bit deeper into some of those.
Thank you.
All right. And does that answer all of your questions, Gary and David? You guys want to see anything else related to the budget on there?
That would answer my question to the budget. Gary, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just concerned that I'm thinking of the future. We don't want people to all of a sudden think we're springing things on them. That's all. That was my concern, David. So I don't think we want the general public or the people paying the fees to feel that all of a sudden we're springing something. If we could plan ahead and then provide information that this might be a possibility, such as if the state comes around and says, well, you're going to have to do so many of these testing, and they can be pretty darn expensive from my past experience, even though now I'm living in the desert, but even so, I mean, it's especially runoff from various commercial parking lots. They could be downright expensive.
Agreed. Commissioner Parker?
The only other thing I was, based upon what you said in the beginning, that we may start having meetings potentially together again. If that happens, would it be time to consider scheduling the tour? Is that something maybe we want to consider in July also? Is not to do it then, but to discuss setting a date at that time.
I believe we did select at the last meeting that we would look at the October time frame, but yes, we can certainly bring that back up, Commissioner Parker.
All right. Any other comments? All right. I would like to move on to the adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Yeah. Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you guys. So moved. We are adjourned. And Justin, you will be missed.
You will, Justin.
Thanks so much.
Bye, Justin. Bye. Thank you, Chairman.
Everybody have a great couple months.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Stay safe out there.
Bye-bye.